This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers. There are jewelry stores, then there's Zada's. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like adultery. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
In some ways, we don't actually want him running at all because of the fear of his knees giving out on him. That has happened in the past. Like, at the same time, both knees went. So that is a reasonable fear. But Yordan legged out what should have been a strikeout, but it was a wild pitch attached, and he legs out, he gets the first. He beats the throw. I don't even know what he was legging out, what's the proper term. I know he just beat the throw to first. It would have been the final out of the inning. He makes the first safely, and then Paredes hits a three-run home run, which was the difference of the ballgame. At the time, the Astros were up 2-1, supporting Imai, and then Paredes hits that three-run home run. Alvarez and Pena score. It's 5-1, and they hold off the Marlins and win 5-3. So that's two wins in a row after getting swept by the Orioles, and this is just the up-and-down nature of this club. Can never build consistency, but at least you've got a couple games back after what was a disastrous series to open up the second half. And I say disastrous because of the belief that we're coming off not playing all that well going into the break. Fresh start. We got a not-so-great ball club coming into town. Let's take a series and see where we stand, particularly with the AOS so wide open, and then you just get beat down. As far as wins and losses, the games themselves weren't blowouts, but you only scored two runs in each game. But you have bounced back thanks to Jansen Junk a couple nights ago, and you got to the Marlins early as well. And look at you. Now your prominent players are on the cover of the front page of ESPN, but not for great reasons. Like, the Astros have generally been a story around this time of the year. Could they add someone? Could they make a move to strengthen a potential title run? This time it's Passan and others talking about Peña and Paredes being guys who could get shipped out. We had a caller to end the previous show, Spencer, talk about the realities of a situation where if there is a lockout shortened season next year, you're losing the likes of Peña if you don't make the trade. He was setting up a disaster scenario where service time could be negotiated and you don't even get them for 2027. That is up for the ML Players Association, MLB Players Association, and MLB to figure out. But Peña, right there, I believe it's still there, his picture on the front page of ESPN.com, passing and only discussing the Astros potentially moving him. But it is written in the segment about the Astros that all the signals coming out of Houston is that they're not trading these guys, which has been the consistent theme for the team. In basketball, there's something to be said for asset management. and trading away players who you know you're either not going to resign or not part of your future for picks, and you trade them away at a time where their value is at their highest because you are always on the lookout for the next big trade and you want to have the assets to make it. First round picks, we know, very important in basketball, more important than even in football, partly because they don't get moved as much in football, and superstars, I would say, normally don't get traded in football, but now guys get traded more than I've ever remembered, Myles Garrett being the most recent superstar. But in baseball, it's not about picks. It's about young players and trading your guys who you're not going to bring back for those young players. The Astros have never operated that way. They are far more willing to lose a guy for nothing than to trade a guy and get value for him. It puts you in a position where your fan base always knows that you're trying to compete, even if it's foolish to do so in a season. But are they behind the times? Is their approach the wrong one when it comes to setting up yourself up for the future? Happy to see the wins. Happy to at least have something to watch when it comes to Yordan. And I'm not advocating for trading Yordan, mostly because I don't trust the decision makers. Like, if Luno Incarnate was running the team, I'd be like, you know what? Let him do it. I would believe that this guy would get the best value, would identify the right prospects, and we wouldn't be bemoaning trading Yordan for a bunch of guys who did nothing for the team in the next 4 or 5 years. They're in a position right now where me, being the baseball farm system novice that I am, would just immediately go, no chance this goes well, right? Like, normally, particularly in basketball, even if you trade for an alleged haul with picks and maybe a young player, the team who gets the best player wins the trade. Unless you're the Clippers. They are the recent example of not winning the trade because it turns out the young player that they gave away was the best player in the trade. He just didn't get there yet. That is not normally the case. We're going to have another example of this. We'll see how the Giannis tenure goes in Miami. But the Bucks pick young players over an established player in Jaylen Brown for several reasons.
It'd be very surprising to me.
But do we think Khalil Ware is going to come out of that the best player in the trade? Yeah. Recent first-round pick slipped in the draft, whatever. Yeah. The Bucks may have found guys that can be rotation guys on a team 4 years from now who could be pretty good. Who knows? But are they going to get the best player in the trade? Seems unlikely.
Tyler Hero. We got to mention Tyler Hero.
As I said, seems unlikely.
Okay.
He's a score-only, undersized, in some way, shooting guard. Those guys generally don't become the best players in the trade when the guy who was sent the other way is a generational was a generational player. I was going to say prospect, but he wasn't even really a generational prospect. Is a generational player and continues to be in the back half of his prime. I don't think the Bucks are going to get the best player unless it falls apart in Miami and one of the picks is like a top five pick, and who knows. But still, it's unlikely. Baseball, I think the chances are slight that the Astros would get a better player than Yordan in the trade. Hell, think about what the Dodgers got for Yordan. So it has happened before, but it seems unlikely considering how good Yordan is. So I'm not advocating for that with the current decision makers. But whenever that changeover happens, it should be considered. But we can just enjoy the rest of the season because I don't foresee them doing it. Neither do most people who are in the business of breaking news.
Yeah. It's also a thing of, like, it's easy to say, like, time to rebuild. But then, like, actually rebuilding is very hard. And, getting the prospects back and then actually converting those prospects into, like, not even as good as Yordan, just, like, good MLB players. Like, that is very – it's, like – I feel like it gets, you know, underappreciated how often, like you said, guys or teams trade the best player, on their team, and it's like, then they weren't as good as they were the moment they traded him for another 5 years. You know, like there's a lot of pain that goes into like actually taking off Peña and Alvarez from this team that you're watching every night.
And the years that we suffered through in this town.
Yeah.
It didn't come at the expense of like great players.
They're just bad.
The team just was bad. And the team got ignored for the better part of 3 seasons, and not just 3 seasons, 3 years, considering how long baseball is. People just turned away from the Astros, and then were surprised when 2015 rolled around there and they're a good team. So I would ask a question. Are you open to the thought of trading away your established major leaguers for the hope, not the guarantee, for the hope of getting good young players and the likelihood of suffering through some awful, awful seasons where Altuve is surrounded by the who's who of who is that guy?
Yeah,
who is that guy? It would just be Altuve as a recognizable face and all the other guys who are middling prospects or middling MLB players as he I won't say fades away, but transitions into elder statesman and retires as an Astro. We talk about Yordan being the one guy that people can lock in on and watch and have enjoyment for the season as far as the everyday lineup. You ready for the thought of it being Altuve surrounded by, no offense to Lamont Wade, but a bunch of Lamont Wades? If you're trading away Peña and others and the Paredes and others.
Matt Dominguez comes back.
Yeah, that's the alternative.
And the idea of Altuve's final season
being that.
Not only being that, but also being surrounded by nobodies on the field, and also being surrounded by nobody in the stadium. Yeah.
Will actually be people on the field as nobodies, and then he'll look down the first baseline and see nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, if you're Jim Crane, you think about, like, you're Jim Crane. It's like the first, like you said, the first 3 years he owned this team, no one cared. No one paid attention. First warrior.
And he has set himself up through his actions and his words.
He never wants to do that again.
He wants no part of that.
Yeah.
And I understand you buy a baseball team. It's exciting. You follow the advice of the people you hire, and they go, this is how this has got to be to get us to a spot. And it worked out swimmingly. I don't know that he has the appetite to do it again.
Yeah. And so, especially to basically like hit eject. I mean, you see it like in May and April of Astros seasons when they get off the slow start. It's like people are, all right, later. Like it's that quick. And never mind, you know, coming into a season where it's like this team will be awful. And there will be only a couple guys that you know of on the roster. It's like, yeah, no one's going to come.
Yeah,
you're going to make way less money.
He bought the Astros 15 years ago. He is now 72 years old. Does he want to spend the next 3 or 4 years, however long it would take, just being an awful baseball team? I don't think he wants to.
We mentioned the Giannis trade. Little Pat Riley itch of like, well, sure, the 2034 first round pick. Yeah, I'm worried about that.
So Pat Riley did. You mentioned him. He did a sit down with Dan Le Batard, who he's known for a long time because of Le Batard's ties to Miami, writing for the Herald before he transitioned to just being a radio guy. Riley said if he could have secured and kept LeBron around the first time, he would have retired. He would have been on the verge of retirement then. But he was so fired up by his departure that he hung on to try to rebuild this thing. And, you know, they made a couple finals. Now he's at it again. He could have retired 15 years ago.
And been 70.
Yeah.
like it is.
So that is.
It is crazy.
Yeah. So this is how these things work for the guys. Jim Crane's a little different. Pat Riley's whole life has been basketball. Jim Crane a little bit different, but he's been a good portion of his life as the Astros owner now. And does he want to be the owner of a bad baseball team again? Don't think so. So I expect it to go the way it always goes for the Astros. These guys will be around until they're not.
Yeah.
And the belief, and maybe it's delusion, they'll believe they can figure this out on the fly as opposed to doing the complete teardown.
Or like off-season a la
Kyle Tucker.
Like that's what I could
in-season, I don't see it at all. I don't think they want that story. He wants that story to be part of a season.
Especially when, like, we do, like, obviously, we watch this team. Like, they're not that good.
No.
But you can even just look at the Boston Red Sox, who weren't that good.
Or the Phillies. And now they fired their manager but look, they turned it around.
Yeah. So, and this, you know, it is just a thing of like, well, these other teams can be bad for 3 months and then you go on a 2 week win streak. I mean, you don't even have to do that. You really just have to, like,
a week
go on 2-4 game win streaks.
Yeah, I'm not even saying like, win eight in a row. Like, win eight in a row. Yeah. You win 8 out of 11.
And you're probably in
maybe
first place.
In first place, yeah.
So I think that I mean, honestly, you needed the Texas Rangers or the Seattle Mariners to, like, run away with this division or get close to it, or at least be above 500 for most of the season.
Sure.
And maybe we could have this conversation if the Astros were, like, 8 games back. But no. Them hanging around, like, 2-5, 2-6. Like,
this has been the case for, what are we talking about, a month and a half, 2 months now?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Since they got out of last place in April. It's been, like, even when they were in last place, they probably were only still 4.5 games out. I just think it would be a big pivot from Jim Crane's 15 years of being owner, and to do that with a lame duck GM would also be very surprising to me.
So the trade deadline is August 3rd. The Astros, as we started the segment with, won again last night, won this series against the Marlins. They do have to face the Marlins' best pitcher, Sandy. I always go back and forth. I hear Alcantara, mm-hmm. Alcantara. I've heard that before.
I
don't think that one's right. But Sandy is on the mound for
big,
the Marlins.
Big Al.
Yeah, sure. Big Al's on the mound tonight for the Marlins. He's had an interesting last couple seasons where he was bad last year. There's some questions about him. He was winning. He was a pitcher of record in some wins, but he wasn't great. He didn't pitch in 24 at all. So he's been better this year, but certainly not untouchable. We'll see if the Astros can touch him up again as they try to take 3 from the Marlins. It's just interesting to see Peña on the front page, knowing that, sure, it's a story to talk about him as a potential trade, knowing that that ain't happening. Unless you were talking about I was talking 8-11. You were talking 2-4 game winning streaks. If they lost 10 in a row between now in the All-Star break, maybe it's a different story, but that seems unlikely for this team. Sean, you have been very consistent in your pushback on some Texan stories.
Just
a particular one.
Just the, like, CJ Stroud.
Yeah, yes. We've been very open about enough of that. I'm going to ask you a question. You can consider it during the break.
Mm.
Are you feeling the creep of football ever so slightly, more and more focus on football, as veterans are reporting? We know rookies are showing up to some facilities. Do you feel, I don't want to even say the weight of football, but the shadow of football on your back, because it's July 22nd and the football content creators, they're at it.
They're firing up the content machines.
We've got lists everywhere, Sean. I don't know. We'll get your answer when we come back. Are you feeling the creep of football on your back? We'll talk about that when we come back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So Sean has had some time to consider. Sure, his time for consideration was interrupted by figuring out what exactly did Vinny Jr. do to himself. We may get to that.
Still on the case.
It's more questions regarding what facial harmonization is more than anything else. Turns out it's non-surgical, which was a surprise to both of us, which led to some jokes that probably shouldn't repeat as far as Batman villains go. But the question before we went to break was, does Sean feel the shadow of football creeping up on him? Because it is late July now, and training camps are beginning, veterans, you know, the teams who have to play, and I say have to for a reason, have to play in the Hall of Fame game, got everybody in now because that game is actually fast approaching. Do you feel it? Whether it be you want to call it excitement, existential dread, whatever you want to call football being nearly back, do you feel it around the corner?
I do feel it. I do feel it. And maybe part of it's also like the college football media days happening, where I'm like I'm getting like my natural body clock is like, oh, okay, the circadian rhythm of sports fandom. I'm like, all right, yeah, you know, who do I like in the first round of a fantasy football draft? Let's look at some charts.
That's important because
we're
going to be at the Golden Nugget on the 27th and 28th for our ESPN 975 Fantasy Football League. And tomorrow during the 7 o'clock hour with John and Lance, we will pick our first winner. You'll get a two-night stay at the Golden Nugget if you're one of the members of the league. For the 27th and 28th, $200 in food and beverage credit and a separate dinner at the DraftKings Sportsbook during the fantasy draft. So tune in tomorrow for your chance to win.
And
so
beware, I'm doing my homework.
Sean's going to be ready.
I'm cracking the books.
We'll find the first of the winners, which that winner will bring someone along. So we're going to have already our fifth and sixth members of the league by
tomorrow
in the 7 o'clock hour. So if you don't win tomorrow, we're going to give you more opportunities during John and Lance. So just be on the lookout for that contest in the 7 o'clock hour. But back to the football. Yeah, I think it is the coaches from college football talking, even if some of it or a lot of it has to do with non-on-field stuff, mm-hmm. like where the game stands.
Yeah, and Kirby Smart advocating for succession, yeah.
Sure. And yes, people are like, hey, perhaps find a different word if you're in the South. But hey, use whatever word you want. See if you can separate from the rest of the college football union, SEC. But I think I'm right there with you where I don't feel bad when football's over. You know, whether that's performative or not for some people, it's like, oh, football's over. What are we going to do now? I don't feel that.
No, it's like a good meal that, like, I'm full.
Yeah.
Like,
Super Bowl's a nice capper. I'm good. I'll wait. I mean, I got other things to pay attention to. I've talked about that before. But we're almost here. And while I don't feel the excitement of football being back, I do know I can feel it on my back shoulder, on my back as well, as we're getting ever closer, because it'll change the way we do things a little bit here, and how honestly the whole sports world goes about their business, because we have to make our list, mm-hmm. our top tens of everything, who's underrated, who's overrated. Apparently Caleb Williams is an overrated quarterback going into the year, according to CBS Sports. I saw that. Mm-hmm. CJ Stroud is someone you can bank on for a rebound, according to ESPN, and I believe it was Matt Bowen is betting on the Texans for the Super Bowl, at least for an article he's a part of. He is backing the Texans for a Super Bowl run. So it's here, man. It is time. It's nice to have a team that's relevant. I will say that for all the jokes. The fact that not only the Texans are relevant, but even our college football teams, whether it be me, mine, the one I root for, the one you root for, the Aggies who are on the station, the Cougs in town, there's a lot of expectation surrounding the teams that kind of revolve around this city and the show in particular. So that helps. All the extra stuff before we actually get to a kickoff, it's whatever to me. It's whatever. But at least I know the games are closer.
I do hit a point, like second preseason game, where I am like, all right, let's wrap this up. Let's hurry it up.
Yeah.
But right now, it still is pretty, you know, other than the like, CJ Stroud, what does he need to do? Has anyone ever thought what does he need to do to get a contract? I'll also throw in, this is more of a Texans, it's more of the fault of Nick Caserio, but the offensive line talk, like, listen, I'm good. They're not going to be that good. We're just talking about degrees of bad that they can be.
Yeah, we've done it enough here.
Like, I'm good.
Shooting for average and
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. But there, you know, just in the general sense, I am excited to get this thing started, and especially because, like you mentioned, like not only are the Texans relevant, I feel like the Texans have a pretty high floor as far as like
that too.
There's not really like huge disaster potential. It would take like several defensive injuries for that to happen, and also their season starts just banger after banger. Like there's
got the Bills to start.
Yeah, you get Bill. I forgot the order, but it's like Bills, Bengals, Cowboys, and there's another one in there that's also pretty good. And is it?
It's Bills, Bengals, Colts, Cowboys.
Colts, Cowboys. Yeah, so it's like four teams that are all like, all right, solid. The worst team in there, it's at least it's a divisional game. Like, got a little something extra. I'm excited. I think part of it also is the World Cup ending. I think the World Cup helped float us a couple weeks. Where you probably get the football cravings a little bit earlier. But given that it was in America, easy to watch, delivered for every step of the way, except probably the last step. And even then, it was still, like, fun. It was still, like, I still liked being mad at Enzo Fernandez. that was enjoyable to be like, Paredes, you punk.
There is a video of, it was in a public place in China, where they're just like the rest of the world having a watch party watching the game. And the noise that was made when the Enzo Fernandez second yellow happened and then they watched the red card being pulled out, it was something very joyous. I was like,
yeah.
I didn't know. I guess I should have assumed that the distaste for how Argentina goes about their football, I did not know it permeated. I know it permeated. It got through to me through my algorithm, but across the world,
it crosses languages.
The neutrals,
people,
no matter where you were, when Enzo Fernandez got thrown out, they're like, yeah, like an explosion of joy that he got thrown out of the game. And I got to tell you, in the privacy of my own home, did I say yellow, second yellow? Yeah. That's a red. Get him out of here. Yes, I was like, yeah, he's out of here. I was like, well, I mean, I don't care that much about Spain, but I do care about him getting thrown out of the game.
It was a disgusting performance.
Thank you, Craig Burley. You are correct. I was listening to a fan of a team who he plays for, Chelsea, called into one of the English talk shows and goes, like one of the guys on was being reasonable about Enzo Fernandez. He scores goals. He doesn't even play in the position that he's possibly best suited for, but he's productive for Chelsea. And a Chelsea fan called in and goes, I really wish this guy wasn't on my team. I'm disgusted by his actions in the World Cup.
We expected the thuggery.
And that was one of the reasons why the guy was like, sure, he's one of the stalwarts for my starting 11, but get him off my team. He disgusted me.
Yeah, it's a dishonor.
Yeah.
It's a dishonor to wear the badge.
Yes, dishonoring the badge, I think, was part of the conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the World Cup, I mean, honestly, once it throttles down, like after the quarterfinals, where you get, you know, multiple days between games,
yeah.
I think that too, like, and then, you know, Monday and Tuesday this week, just being like, all right, I guess Astros,
over.
Marlins, and that's not much else.
There is a ratcheting down from the biggest event in world sports to, look.
Astros, Marlins.
It's Peter Lambert and Tetsuya Imai.
Yeah, Tetsuya
and
Imai. Let's see what Tetsuya Imai can do. Hey, pretty solid.
Yeah, it was Ronel Blanco, in fact. Peter Lambert pitched in the Orioles series. Ronel Blanco and Tetsuya Imai. Look at that.
Yeah.
I went from rooting against Messi to rooting against all these anonymous Marlins.
When you're staring down the barrel of like of that, you're like, you know what, I could use some Ariante Ursary second year talk. I could use what does he look like at practice against Daniil Hunter?
That's interesting, only because of your clear distaste for those type of conversations, but also that a guy whose job it is to cover the team, I've mentioned it, DJ Bantama, he was like, well, I'm not going to learn much from this camp. But I mean, they don't really do the same things they used to do, so there's not much to take away. So maybe he will have to talk about Ursary, but maybe even he.
Iron sharpens iron.
Ain't all that interested in that. Sure.
I could use some iron sharpened iron.
I mean, one of them is iron. The other one is copper. We're trying to figure out how strong it actually is.
Yeah, but you know, again, when you're get off of work at 3 and you're like, all right, so 4 more hours until one baseball game.
I mean, we just better hope that Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson isn't just like the Odyssey, where the Iron Era age cleaned out the Bronze Age, because that Texas offensive line, more Bronze Ages than it is Iron Age.
They're those big giant guys.
Yeah, those big giant. They were supposed to be cannibals in the written story, but no evidence that they're cannibals in the movie.
Come on, Nolan.
He missed out on having one of them eat one of Odysseus's troops. But yeah, we saw Iron versus Bronze in that battle. Didn't go well for the Ithacans. No. Hopefully, Laurent Terry and the rest of that offensive line
goes
better for them when they have to go up against Hunter and
all right, Keelan Keelan Rutledge, have fun.
Yeah, it'll be I know this is not even the position you played in college, but have at it.
Yeah,
have at it.
See how it goes.
All right, we'll go to break. The number is 713-780-3776. If you want to join us to talk about football, either the world's football or our football, doesn't really matter. You can get in whenever you want. We're going to wrap up hour one when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Just want to let some of you know, because I haven't got one of these tweets really all summer because we've had interns every day. If you're looking for the John and Lance podcast, wait for around 12:10, 12:15, because I got to take care of that. No interns today. It'll be up right after the show's over. So if you were waiting for it, that's why you haven't gotten it yet. First day, maybe all summer, where I didn't have an intern. You don't have one either, do you?
No.
I don't know what happened, Joe.
Yeah.
Who schedules the interns?
Or if
one of them.
No-showed.
I hope everyone's okay if it is one of those situations.
But don't bother coming back.
Well, please do.
I hope everyone's okay.
I hope everyone's okay, and please come back.
Or if this was scheduled,
maybe just no one has a day today. No one has a shift today. But come back either way, because it means less work for all of us. And they put up our podcast, so they are a vital part of what we do here. None of them has pre-scheduled a tweet announcing a star player is going to join the team, like the Miami Heat's YouTube social media person did, whoever does that. And the Heat have responded by putting up a LinkedIn job, the director of YouTube strategy. they're looking for someone to perhaps avoid what happened. If you don't know, and this is probably par for the course, you just get ready for something. There's some speculation that they know that LeBron James is picking them and they have it all set up. And this is the YouTube introductory press conference stream was set up for July 27th to go live whenever they needed it to go live on that day. And unfortunately, someone made it public and people could see it. And the Heat have said it's just a mistake. We have no indication whether LeBron will join them, will join the Heat. And the Heat were like, you know what? It's not a big deal, but we'd prefer this not to happen again. So let's go hire someone. And beyond looking for a director of YouTube strategy, they wrote a couple paragraphs of what they wanted. And I always wonder who has to do this, because it feels AI generated. Like, if I read this, you're a YouTube first builder. You understand the platform deeply, know how to create for the next generation, and see the difference between making content and building something people come back to. You're looking for a role where the access is rare, the upside is real, and you have the room to run with it. If this is you, then you're who we're looking for. Perhaps someone came up with that to write. I couldn't imagine ever putting that paragraph together.
Yeah, either AI has perfectly like copied or has been based off of meaningless corporate speak, or corporate speak has morphed into AI style of writing where it's like, yeah, that is just like, technically that means things, but that is ultimately like, you're not really saying anything. You're just, hey, we need someone to post YouTube videos
at the appropriate time
and clips, and that can get a lot of clicks and grow our brand. That's what we need.
Yeah, I checked on LinkedIn.
Also, don't post anything early.
And it is real. It's a real job that they're offering.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And they started offering it.
Right. Sorry, Joe.
20 hours ago.
Throwing my hammer.
Can you
not
avoid
something?
Making it look like LeBron's going to be a member of the Heat before he actually makes a decision?
I think I know the difference between the schedule button or the, you know, save and drafts and the post.
Publish. Yeah. So that's out there, which it's a funny story. Mm-hmm. People are very nervous about perhaps could this sway LeBron someplace else? You know, the multi-million-dollar athlete who is on the verge, if he hasn't already become a billion-dollar businessman, is going to be so upset, like he's a 17-year-old high school kid whose moment's been ruined when he's about to announce that he decides, you know what? Yeah, I was going to Miami. But this has happened, so now I'm going to be a Warrior. The hats get flipped.
Put on the hat.
He takes off the Miami hat, tosses it on the ground, and takes off his shirt, and there's a Warriors jersey.
Yeah.
I don't know that he can be swayed by a simple misstep, but who can say?
I think the initial take of like, this means he's going to the Heat. This is how it leaked, where it's like, I don't think the word trickles down to the director of YouTube strategy before it gets to Shams Charania. I don't know. I don't think that's how quickly I don't think it goes from Rich Paul, you know, LeBron and Rich Paul to Pat Riley to the YouTube guy for the Miami Heat, which I'm surprised they have a YouTube job and not a all social media job. Like, yeah, that's actually a little surprising. Shout out to Mickey Arison, creating jobs.
Well, this is what you have when you can avoid the first apron for several years. You've got the money to hire people.
What's the salary on this listing?
I don't know. I know you can save a lot by trading a Lou Dort, which was part of why the OKC Thunder did what they did. Now they got plenty of money to hire a director of YouTube strategy and Instagram if they so choose.
Yeah, no, I need to check the salary before I send my application.
Look, I don't know what you make here or what they're going to pay you, but trust, it's going to be more with the Heat. You're a director.
Oh, yeah.
You're not an associate. You're not an assistant. You're the director of YouTube strategy if you get that job. Keith, you want to talk fantasy football? We'll get to that when we come back. And I asked Sean to contemplate something. And contemplate this as well. I'll have to think about it. And everyone else can, too. For whatever college football team you root for, think of all the hours you spent watching them every Saturday. Think of a quarterback in your college's history that's the equivalent of Kevin Jennings, the SMU quarterback. And I'll tell you why I'm asking you that question when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.